Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Jeffrey Swartz here. I'm a professor of law at WMU Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus with my compatriot, Brendan Beery, who is also a professor of law at WMU Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus. And I start out the proceedings by saying that the opinions that Brendan and I espouse are ours and ours alone. They are not necessarily the opinions of WMU Cooley Law School's administration or its faculty individually or at large. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Jeffrey. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and good morning from all of us to our patron, Hezzy Aris. Good morning, Hezzy. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Brendan. Pleasure. Always.
Good morning.
Every Tuesday.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be anywhere.
I don't know about that.
It's great. I mean, it's rare, but some people actually do say to me, it's great to see you, Jeff, and I say, it's great to be seen. So I just, just that stage of life where every morning is just like, you know, a new life.
Still looking down at the ground, not up, right?
You got it. I'm looking down at the grass. I'm not looking up at the dirt. My name isn't in the abyss. It's a good morning. Okay?
Okay.
I'm always going to cheer for that. Everybody thinks I'm old. I'm really not old. I'm just, you know, older than most people. That's often. It doesn't make me old. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Okay. We got a lot to do today. And so we're going to start with our usual, what do you really think? And it's hard to pick one simply because there's just so much serious stuff going on. But I think that I'll start out with something humorous just for the fun of it. I read an article this morning. That Bill Gates, you know him, the founder of Microsoft, you know what's coming, don't you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft and one of the people, I guess you could describe as one of the great philanthropic people, so much so that he's going to disown his children when he dies, has decided that his new goal now is to find a way to stop cows from belching and passing gas. I guess the idea is that they put out so much methane that a lot of people have said it is our herding of cattle and our increase in the cattle and cow industry that has contributed almost as much to global warming as the use of fossil fuels. Okay? So he's decided that it is his new goal in life to stop cows from farting. Okay? I don't know how you do that. Okay? And I'm trying to figure out, you know, Siri, what are you going to do, put a cork in them? I don't know. Okay? I don't know how you stop it. Think about it this way, though, for those of you that are Jewish. Can a cow who's not allowed to pass gas be kosher?
That's okay. An interesting question. I never thought of it that way.
You know,
yeah, I bet you haven't.
I just want
that's
know.
One bloated cow, man. Can you imagine the bloat on that thing?
I mean, seriously, they'll explode. Okay? I'm trying to figure out exactly what he has in mind. I understand his concern, okay? I guess if we all become vegan and we don't eat cow meat anymore, we don't need the cows. And I don't know what you do about getting milk because I happen to like milk. If you get rid of milk because you don't have cows, you're getting rid of ice cream. You're getting rid of half and half for your coffee. You're getting rid of the milk that you put on your cereal. Okay, or you put in your mashed potatoes to make them creamy. Okay, there's so many uses from cottage cheese is gone, sour cream is gone, butter is gone. All of these things are gone if you get rid of cows. So I don't know, but maybe we should find – I got it. We can attach something to the cow, you know, where the methane comes out, and we can create a pipeline. So we can use that methane as fuel. Okay, so if it, you know, and we'll find a way to use it. You know, every time they go in to eat, you put on, you put them in the thing with the feed bag, and then you attach something to what comes out the other end, so you can get all of the methane, all the manure, and all the smell, and all the gases. Okay, I want to work on this task force because I got an imagination that'll just knock your socks off. Okay, on this one. Okay, so you know. There are other things that you can do for society and for the world, Bill, but you're never going to stop cows from farting. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen, okay? But you go do that, okay? I, if it makes you happy, okay? I want you to be happy, Bill. You know, you're really, there are better things to do with your money, like give it to me, okay? Other than I can't think, okay, no. Stop.
If I
forget that,
if
let's go somewhere else. Yes.
I used to milk cows when I was much younger. On
you
a
must
kibbutz.
Have a very strong thumb then. You must have a strong thumb.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. So I was thinking, you know, since while you're milking them, I guess maybe you could attach something, and you have to teach them not to fart at any particular time, but only during the time when you milk them.
I'm putting you
in
charge.
So then you can use it as
methane
gas.
There you go. I'm putting you in charge. I'm putting you in charge of the educational program that teaches cows to only fart when they're eating, okay? I want you to, you know, write a paper on this and let's just submit it to Bill, okay? Okay.
Okay.
It'll give you something to do in your off hours, okay? Okay. I'm done. Pick this one up, Brendan, okay?
Oh my God! You know, I think we ought to just call it a show. We're not going to top this. We just it's all downhill from here. You know.
Okay.
Well, actually, you know, it's going to change the wealth of nations because you know countries like Brazil with all those cows, that would be phenomenal. A new source of energy.
The Maasai in Kenya.
Oh yeah,
their wealth is measured by cows. So maybe they could learn to farm the methane so they could you know use it for gas stoves instead of using wood. I don't know, but still you know I'm leaving this all up to Bill. This is Bill's thing. This is how he's going to die. Okay, his epitaph is going to say, "I taught cows not to fart." Okay, that's what I want on his gravestone, okay? Get me out of this, Brendan, okay?
I'm sitting here trying to figure out how do you feed Pepsi to a cow, you know, because that's the only solution I can.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Brendan, I said, get me out of this, not continue, please, okay?
Oh, God. All right. Well, I'll open with a half-serious but half-unserious but half-serious issue myself. Who knew that we could – only in America can you have a culture war over M&Ms? And, you know, that's apparently where we're at. Just saw yesterday that whoever makes M&Ms has withdrawn their new M&Ms.
That's Hershey.
You know, they had Hershey's.
That's
okay.
Hershey's. Yes.
Yeah. And what did they call them? Their spokes M&Ms or something like that? M&Ms, for whatever reason, had decided to kind of, I think they added a green M&M, right? They changed some of the colors of the M&Ms. They changed the shoes on the M&M so that they didn't have, female M&Ms wearing, you know, high heels and whatnot. all stuff that would have completely escaped my notice. I can't say I spend a whole lot of time in the M&M aisle over here at Publix. You know, I don't, of course I'm on keto, so I can't have M&Ms to begin with, but even if I, you know, even if I could have M&Ms, I wouldn't. You would think most grown-ups wouldn't really care what M&Ms, you know, decides to do if they want to have green M&Ms, you know. That's, you know, see, I don't know how you get yourself worked up about that. I don't know how you get yourself worked up about the shoes that a candy is wearing. But alas, like I said, we live in Ron DeSantis's America. And so over on Fox and all the right-wing propaganda outlets, this turned into a huge scandal, right, that that Hershey had messed around with M&Ms because they're so woke that they wanted sort of gender-neutral shoes on the M&Ms, and they wanted more diverse representation, you know, among their M&Ms. And so and it got so loud and so out of control on the political right in this country. Because God knows, you know, like you said, Jeff, we don't have other things to worry about, right? We got to worry about cow farts, right, farting cows and M&Ms.
Now, that's important.
This is the stuff.
Now, that's important. Now, that's important, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Okay?
You know?
All I can tell you is I've been reading the statement from Mars. I'm sorry, it's Mars, not Hershey's. It's Mars.
Oh, okay.
Who said, in the last year, we've made some changes to our beloved spokes candies. Those are the spokes candies are the M&Ms who dress up. They're like people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, one asked the other about Santa Claus. He says, I don't know. I never met that guy. If you ever saw the commercial. We weren't sure if anyone would even notice. We definitely didn't think it would break the internet. But now we get it. Even a candy shoes can be polarizing, the company continued, surely confusing many people who had no idea what this sentence could possibly mean. We'll come back to that, okay? Being polarizing is the last thing M&M's wanted, since we're all about bringing people together. Therefore, we have decided to take an indefinite pause from the spokes candies. They've taken the spokes candies completely out of their advertising. Those little things are funny. I kind of enjoy those commercials. Okay, and now Maya Rudolph, the actress, is now going to be their spokesperson. Okay, now here's some of the stuff that brought it about. Tucker Carlson, I'm quoting, M&Ms will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous. Until the moment, that means without sex, for those of you who don't understand big words. Until the moment you wouldn't want to have a drink with any of them, okay? Yeah, okay, like you, Tucker. That's the goal. Well, you're unappealing. I don't want to have a drink with you either. When you're totally turned off, we've achieved equity. Well, you know what? You're slowly but surely becoming very equitable, okay, because people are, you know, hopefully people are starting to get on to you. Okay, he says the following. The green M&M's got her books back, her boots back, but apparently is now a lesbian. Maybe there's also a plus-sized obese purple M&M. So we're going to cover that, of course, because that's what we do. No, only people like you make an issue out of it. Okay? The idea is it shouldn't be an issue. But it is because of people like you, Tucker, with a T, not with another letter. Okay. So we're just going to leave it at that. It's ridiculous. Okay. I thought it was a great idea. You know, some people can't wear 5-inch heels. I'm sorry. You know? So what? Be that as it may. Okay. I happen to agree with you. Only in America do we have a culture war over candy. And that. And by the way, Mars, if you're looking for a place to advertise, we're available. Okay. okay. We're gonna move on from that one. All right, see, I'm trying to move on here to some kind of important stuff. There's a lot to talk about. And speaking of culture wars, let's talk about something serious. And it's really sad that we have to treat him seriously, but this is the known governor of the state of Florida, himself, okay, Herr DeSantis, who, by at least his wife's advertising, is the second coming, or he may actually believe that he is the first coming of the Messiah. He removed an elected official here in Hillsborough County, down here in Tampa. That's where I am. So if you're looking for me, yeah, this is where I'm at. He removed the state attorney's last name is Warren, because Mr. Warren had signed a letter saying he did not want to enforce anti-abortion laws, among other things. Now, I want to preface all of this with the fact that Mr. Warren advertised when he ran for office that he was going to be the most progressive state attorney in the state, that he was going to be innovative. He came out of the U.S. Attorney's Office. He saw a lot of things that were wrong, and he wanted to fix them. So this should have been, and in fact, he won he beat the incumbent prosecutor by a sizable margin. This guy had been the prosecutor for over 20 years, and he took him out. So it's pretty obvious that the people of Hillsborough County have pretty much had it with Republican prosecutors. And they elect Mr. Warren, and Mr. Warren signs this letter and starts implementing changes, all to the great chagrin of the governor of the state of Florida, his onerous, Governor DeSantis. Governor DeSantis has a habit of doing this. If people who are elected to positions don't do what he wants them to do, or that Board of Education passes something that he thinks is wrong, he just removes them and replaces them with the people they beat. Now, the people, he always said that he wanted to return education back to the parents. I hate to give him this little tidbit, but the parents were always in charge of the education of their children because they are the majority of them elect the Board of Education. So they knew what they wanted and they got what they wanted, but you've decided you don't really want that. And he starts removing people. Mr. Warren did not take this lying down. In the state of Florida, when you are elected and you get your commission for the office that you have run for, you have a property interest in it. It's like you own it, just like your house. You have a property interest. And to remove it, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you should lose it. That's the law in the state of Florida. Mr. Warren never got a hearing. The governor made up his mind on his own that he was going to remove Mr. Warren. And he was satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that he was incompetent, which he was not, that he was insubordinate, which he was not. He's an elected official. He's in charge. He doesn't have a boss. And that he was improperly doing what he was doing, okay, that he was just purposely violating the law, which he was not and never did. Mr. Warren filed an action called quo warranto, and for those of you who don't know what that is, and most lawyers don't know what it is, and most judges don't know what it is a hearing to make the governor or whoever hands out the commissions give them their office or to get their office back if they've been removed. But he filed it in federal court, and when it got filed, we did a bit on this. When it first got filed 8-9 months ago, I said, I don't know why it's going to federal court. There's no federal question here. It belongs in state court. I understand why he wants to go to federal court, because in state court he is not going to get a hearing. He is not going to get a fair hearing. There is no elected judge in the trial court that's going to grant it. I don't see him winning in the Second District Court of Appeals, and the Florida Supreme Court is not likely, okay, to put him back in office. We waited 4 months to get an opinion from this federal judge who wrote 59 pages, 58 pages of which was an absolute scorching of DeSantis, that he did not believe DeSantis for the reasons he did it. No matter whether he wrote it or spoke it, it was political, that it was an interference with Mr. Warren's First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, that he did nothing wrong. There was nothing under the Florida statute that justified his removal. 59 pages of this.
Wow.
And then in the last page he said, Governor DeSantis was wrong. Mr. Warren is right, but I can't do anything about it because there's no federal question here. And dismiss the case, not rendered a verdict, dismiss the case without prejudice so Mr. Warren could seek other relief in the state courts. If I were Ron DeSantis, and then Ron DeSantis, after it comes out, says, I have been vindicated. I was right. Where in that opinion did it say you were right about anything, moron DeSantis? Where did it say in there anything like that? It did not. You got out by the skin of your teeth. Otherwise, it would have been another loss in the courts, another federal loss in the courts. You thought you owned the 11th Circuit. You don't. And the question is, what's Mr. Warren going to do about it? Well, he could file an action in state court. I don't think that's the way to do it, because by the time you get a decision, the election will come up in 24 for a state attorney. What should he do? He should spend the next year and a half reading all 59 pages to any gathering of people that he could possibly read it to. He should be in the news every day. He should be railing on Ron DeSantis in every way he possibly can, and then run for reelection and throw the usurper that was put in his place back out on the street where she belongs. A woman who got appointed to a judgeship and 3 months later resigned to take Mr. Warren's place. There's no way you put her back on the bench. And Ron DeSantis will be busy running for president of the United States, and based upon some of the things that he's doing, will not even be able to carry the state of Florida. If he runs on a Republican platform that calls for the end of Social Security and Medicare, he's going to be real popular in the state of Florida. But he's got more problems than Mr. Warren. Disney's shutting down. One part of it and one piece at a time, they are shutting down. You challenged them and you lost, Ron DeSantis. I want you to explain that to the people of Orange and Osceola County who have to pay for the improvements to the highways, especially I-4, that they will no longer need. The airport authority in Orange County, for the airport they built, that they will no longer need. Who's going to pay the $2 billion that are owed on the taxes, on the bonds that were issued by Reedy Creek Authority, which was basically Disney World? Who's going to give the people of Lake Buena Vista and the Reedy Creek area their fire rescue and firefighters? Who's going to give them their police department? Who's going to pay the taxes? Who's going to employ all the employees of Disney? Who's going to employ all the people on International Drive and all those places that the tourists go that go out of business? Who is going to pay the people who have to shut down on the outlet mall, the world's largest and most expensive outlet mall, who is going to pay for that? Who is going to pay for all of this, Ron DeSantis? And you think you're going to get votes for anything out of Orange and Osceola County? You bit off more than you can chew. Disney can afford to shut down Disney World and still make billions every year. They don't need you. And if they want to have a theme park, they'll build another one in a state that will treat them the way they should be treated. You already lost Universal. They are shut down. I just, the people of the state of Florida elect this guy, and he thinks that he is der Fuhrer. There is no place in this country that is more fascist than the government of the state of Florida. The man whose wife says he is the second coming, that God created him on the eighth day. I can't wait till 24. I hope he's the presidential candidate, because all of this stuff is going to come out, and then ultimately the answer by the Democrats is, you want to do to the country what you did to Florida? Look what you did to Florida. You and your battle on wokeness. You're the one that needs to get woke. You need to wake up, pal. You'll be lucky if you don't get charged for moving all those people from Texas up to Martha's Vineyard with government money that has been unaccounted for. This guy is a walking indictment. Wow. Moron, what do they call him? Ronda Santis? Wow. Your turn. Get me off of this.
No. 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 No, we're not done with Ron DeSantis.
Okay, well, then you go.
Yeah.
They need a cup of coffee. Go ahead.
All right.
I need another cup of coffee like I need a third armpit. Go ahead.
I got a pot over here if you need some. So
you got pot over there, really?
No, a pot.
A pot.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, I mean, what a lesson in authoritarianism. Yeah, we talk about this a lot, but you know, to Republicans, the democracy is not an end; it's a means to an end. So it's, I mean, they just don't care about our history, our republic, our structure of government, unless they win, right? If they win, it's all good. Then democracy is wonderful. But if they don't get what they want, then, you know, they would dispense with democracy just as surely as a cow would fart.
Not according to Gates.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's, but they, yeah, they have no use. You know, Ron DeSantis has no use for an elected official, you know, who reflects the will of the people. I mean, because Ron DeSantis wants what Ron DeSantis wants. Undoing elections is just, you know, it's par for the course. And so, you know, that's, it's just, it's remarkable. But another thing that authoritarians or aspiring fascists like to do is control what we think and what we're allowed to talk about. And so the other aspect that's in the news about Ron DeSantis this week is that he and his Board of Education have banned or rejected an AP high school class on African-American studies. It is not to be taught. It is not to be spoken about. So now we have a couple things that are not to be spoken about. Well, you know, a whole rash of things, really, that are not to be spoken about in schools in Florida. You're not allowed to say gay. You know, we went through that a few months ago. You know, I'm not allowed to talk about at all, not at all, talk about sexual orientation or gender identity or the existence of LGBTQ persons. We're not allowed now to talk about the history of African Americans, including the heroism of many of them. Not to be taught in Florida schools. We are not to speak of it. It's remarkable. The fascism playbook, right? Attack the press, call the press the enemy of the people, right? Control schools, get people worked up about the other, as many as you can find, right? Others who are to blame for your lot in life. The whole playbook is there. And, I don't know what more to say, except the people.
Well,
you know, we can talk all we want about Ron DeSantis, but, you know, and Donald Trump. But they're right there for everybody to see, and people keep supporting them. And people voted for Ron DeSantis. It wasn't even close. With all this in front of them, I don't know what you do with that.
His big push on this, he wrote a letter to the College Board that oversees AP coursework in his rejection and said that the course is, quote, inexplicably contrary to Florida law and significantly lacks educational value.
Mm-hmm.
And then says to them, in the future, should College Board be willing to come back to the table with lawful, historically accurate content? What would he know about what is, in fact, historically accurate content regarding black history? He doesn't want, basically, anything that teaches black people about their own history and culture. That's the bottom line. He says, we look forward to bringing this rich and inspiring exploration of African-American history and culture to students across the country. That's what the College Board said. It's a history, but he says it's what's called critical race theory. It's not. Black students, you don't count. Black students, you don't exist. Be like us white people. You don't need to know from where you came. And you go where we tell you to go. It is not this whole idea that he talks about critical race theory is based upon what's known as the 1619 Project that talked about the history around the arrival of slave ships on American shores. Blacks weren't enslaved. We're going to take that right out of our history, even though it's written into the damn Constitution. Could anybody be more concerned about white privilege than Ron DeSantis? You want to be black in America? It's okay. That's the color of your skin. But you don't need to know where you came from, and you don't need to know your own history. Next thing you know, he's going to tell Jews they can't celebrate Passover or Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah because we already have a calendar, and we already celebrate the Last Supper. It's called, Palm Sunday. So we don't need another holiday. We'll just use the Christian holidays. Is that what's next? In fact, as far as he's concerned, Jesus was born a Christian. Last I heard, he was a Jew. And the schism in Christianity was between Peter and Paul, and it was all about whether to be converted to Christianity, you first had to become a Jew. That was Paul's thought process. And it had to do with the operation, too. But I don't get you, DeSantis. I don't get your thought process, and I don't get evangelicals who ignore history because it somehow conflicts with their faith. We're not a Christian country, Ron. We're not going to be a Christian country. Or are you going to be one of those that says, if you aren't a Christian, get out? Are you the new Takamata? Mata, I'm sorry, Takamata. Are you? I don't know. Third base. I just don't know how much more fascist this guy has to appear for people to understand he will be a hero to that 25% who believe that white people were meant to rule. And we're not giving up the United States to people of color. Go. I'm not telling you to go away mad, Ron. Just go away. Move someplace where they want what you got. I don't know. Colombia? Bolivia? They'd love you down there. Brazil might even like you. I don't know. They just threw a guy like you out, but what the hell? Sorry. I don't know what country you think you're in, but you're not in the one I grew up in. I'm older than you. I know what this country's about. You don't. See, now you're making me mad again. Now I got to calm down again. You wanted to talk about the SCOTUS investigation.
Yeah.
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 Go ahead.
How interesting.
I'll follow up. Yeah.
Talk
about a
well,
rogue investigation. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know. And I'm glad some of the commentators that I've been listening to have kind of straightened out my understanding of this. I didn't follow closely, you know, the logistics and inner workings of how this investigation was going. But one could be excused for thinking that it was the U.S. Marshal Service that was conducting this investigation. And we're talking about, of course, the leak of the Dobbs decision, the abortion decision that was written by Alito. You know, unprecedented to have a leak of that scale. Not that there's never been a leak out of the Supreme Court, but an entire opinion coming out like that was just breathtaking. And so one would have thought that Roberts really, really would have wanted to get to the bottom of this and would have engaged federal law enforcement agencies and resources that were at his disposal, because the FBI offered to do the investigation and other agencies offered to assist as well. And he said, no, the marshal's going to do it. And again, when I hear marshal, I think U.S. Marshal Service. That's not who did the investigation. It was the Supreme Court marshal. Okay. It was the marshal of the court, whose job it is to secure the Supreme Court building. And that's it. So this is not an investigative agency. This is not an agency that will issue subpoenas and things like that and enforce them. This is not an agency whose personnel, I mean, they're good at what they do, but this is not what they do. You know, they secure a facility. That's what they do. They don't investigate. They don't have the resources the FBI has. They don't have the expertise. Why would you put an investigation like this in the hands of that type of an agency or office, I guess I should say, when you have all of these other resources available to you? You know,
it would pay to bring in the Department of Justice, okay, which you probably couldn't do, but bringing in the FBI. Because if you lie to the FBI, is that or is that not a criminal offense? If you're under oath and you say something wrong, is that not obstruction of justice? Okay? Mm-hmm. So, and I'd like to see all of those members of the court under oath.
Well, and not only that, if the FBI had done this, and again, they said that they would. They offered to. And Robert said, no, we're going to do this in-house. They could have subpoenaed the phone records of everybody involved. They would have certainly intercepted somehow how that opinion got it, found its way to certain media outlets. I mean, they would have done it. There were ways to find out what happened here. And why would the court say, we're going to handle this in-house, and then issue, as they just did, issue a finding after all this time saying, well, we're throwing our hands up in the air now. We just can't get to the bottom of this. Right? The most egregious leak in Supreme Court history that is, water under the bridge. Let's move on. I smell a rat. I'm not a conspiracy theorist by nature. But I want to know why. I want to know why they didn't engage competent law enforcement to figure out what happened here, and I want to know why all of a sudden they don't want to know. Those are answers we're entitled to if the Supreme Court wants to keep our trust. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, Jeff.
Well, I love the reversal that there is no mention in the report, the written report, that the marshal, if you want to call him that, the fall guy for all of this, interviewed members of the court. When there was a hue and cry over why you were taking phones away from employees, forcing them to speak, and if they didn't, they were fired, looking through their computers, all of those things, when it's simple enough because they make huge numbers of copies of all of these drafts, whether it's the majority opinion or the dissenting opinions or concurring opinions, and they go to God knows how many people. All of the clerks get them. All of the justices get them. Everybody gets them. They even went to the copy machines to see if they could find an individual copy that somebody made. They did not find one. That means someone who officially got one gave it to someone who gave it to someone who went to the press. And by the way, the press says their source is unimpeachable. There's only one. There is nobody in that building who's unimpeachable, and that includes the justices because they can be impeached. But it had to come from one of them. I don't think there's a person who works for the clerk's office who would dare take that risk. But they didn't speak, by the way, to the justices' spouses, who might have taken one of the copies of that opinion home and left it where his spouse or her spouse could find it, who then took it out and gave it to the press. Now, one particular spouse comes to mind. Is it really so unimaginable that Ginny Thomas, of all people, would get her hands on that opinion during the conversation in which her husband, who never talks about business, tells her that Kavanaugh's getting ready to bolt? We're having trouble holding on to him. That she, who believes in dirty tricks and illegal things like, fake electors, insurrections, would leak a copy of that to corner Kavanaugh into keeping his vote where it was? I pick her. If I'm investigating this, she's the first person I'm going to talk to because she is the most likely. I'm going to put her under oath. And she'll take the Fifth Amendment, just like she did in the other investigation, on anything directly related to anything. She talked, but not about what she needed to talk about. I have a real problem with this. And then they wonder over there across the street from the Capitol why there the approval and the respect for the court is down to 25%. 25% for the highest court in the country, who has always been held in the highest esteem of any of our governmental agents. Why is it only 25% of the people in this country trust the court? And that 25% are made up mostly of people who are so glad that they won Dobbs that they don't care about the rest of it. Somebody can explain this to me. And yet they all went on this tour, at least within the majority. They went on this tour during the summer speaking about we're not – it came out of Amy Coney Barrett's mouth. It came out of Sam Alito's mouth with a laugh. We are not political hacks. We are only doing what the Constitution demands of us, which everybody knows is a load of crap. But Sotomayor was honest about it. We're losing because people are covering their political agendas. She made it abundantly clear. I'm sure I would like to have been a fly on the wall on the first day of the new term. And the animosity among the members of the court is clear in oral argument. And they wonder why people don't have faith in them. They think the more they take away and the more they go back to the 1850s, the more popular they will be. You got it backwards, guys and gals. Sorry, not sorry. It's just absurd. We all know it came from somebody that had to make sure that Kavanaugh stayed put. And there's only two people I know that got the cojones to do that, Alito and Thomas. We know Roberts would never do that. And Amy Coney Barrett is afraid of her own shadow. So as far as I can see, I got two suspects for the leak because Alito has done it before.
Wow.
Letting Hobby Lobby know they were going to win 2 weeks in advance. But I'm putting my money on Thomas and Ginny Thomas. I think Ginny Thomas is our leak. No, actually, Thomas is the leak with Alito, but they gave it to Ginny to execute, which is why the source was, quote, unimpeachable. You can't impeach a private citizen. And a belief that it had to really be the thing because Ginny Thomas would not risk putting out a fake one. So I'm sorry. That was a terrible investigation. Boy, give the FBI the subpoena power, and I'm going to tell you something. Because it's a stolen government document, which is supposed to be classified at least until it's published. So there was federal jurisdiction to charge somebody. And the fact that they couldn't find who did it tells you they didn't really try. They just made it look like they were trying. That's where I'm at on that. I'm all over Ginny on this one. There is something else we have to talk about. We have 11 minutes.
Yeah.
In the last 3 days, there have been 3 mass shootings in the state of California alone, all done with the kind of weapons that individuals have no business owning. You put that together with a mass shooting that took place in Des Moines, Iowa, at a school. A parent who is upset shot 3 people at a school. And all of the other mass shootings, we have had 37 mass shootings, and we haven't even gotten to the end of January. 37 mass shootings in the year 2023, and we have not reached the end of January yet. And yet you do not hear anyone other than Democrats in Congress yelling and screaming, do something. But these are the same people who are election deniers who think that the armed insurrectionists are going to surface again and we're going to have a revolution. And they're trying to make it possible. 89% of the American people, not voters, the American people want sensible gun control. They want outlawing of assault weapons. Not just the sale of them, the possession of them. Yes, we're coming for your guns. And yes, if necessary, we will take them out of your cold, dead hands. Americans do not believe that there is a need for anyone to own a weapon of war. Except for people in the military who fight those wars. Thirty-nine in 24 days. Now, I want you to figure out, by the end of the month, it'll be 45. Multiply that times 12. That's 940 mass shootings in this country in a year. Really? But we don't have a problem. It's all a mental health issue. Well, every other democracy in this world has mental health issues. They have domestic violence issues. Yet in England, in the last 11 years, there has been one mass shooting. One. Why is that? Because other democracies believe that people don't need guns. Now, we have this country was born out of a drug and booze culture. Our country was founded on guns and booze. We know that. That's historically correct. But there's a hell of a lot of difference between a handgun you keep in your home to protect yourself against somebody breaking into your home and hurting you and your family and a weapon of war. An AK-47, an AR-15, that you can convert to fully automatic with large capacity magazines and clips and bump stocks. Who needs that to protect themselves? If you're protecting yourself, you're going to do it at close range. You don't need a weapon of war. Nobody's going to attack you from 300 yards. If you need a gun to protect yourself, they're going to be right there in your face. And people say, well, that isn't going to stop the bad guys from having guns. Well, if the good guys don't have the guns, that means if you have one, you're a bad guy. And then the good guys, who are the police, can protect themselves. They're outgunned. Right now, they are outgunned. Their opposition are using fragmentation bullets. They are using AR-15s. They are wearing body armor and helmets. The only thing they don't have are armored personnel carriers, and I got a feeling they probably got a few of those out there somewhere. This has got to stop. And those members of the Supreme Court who ruled on the Bruin case and ruled on Heller, you are anti-constitutionalists. You want to destroy this country. Don't tell me you're protecting the Constitution. You are trying to destroy this country. You have other agendas, like Alito and his theocracy. Or Thomas, his desire to punish liberals because they gave him such a hard time getting on the court 40 years ago. Talk about holding a grudge. This has got to stop. You have to stop, SCOTUS. If you want to find people have the right to protect themselves, that's fine. But reasonable limitations on the weapons they can own is constitutional. I know you will say otherwise. You're going to have a chance with the new Illinois law. You're going to have a chance to say yes or no. They're going to say no. You know that they're going to say no. Because the governor of Illinois is a Democrat, and you all are Republicans. We have to make the Constitution completely unworkable so that our dictator can take office, and then he'll take the guns away. And those of you who haven't, who don't think that he will, find me a country where the person who is in charge, the dictator, allows his people to own guns. Find me one. Dare you. The Second Amendment actually outlived its usefulness a long time ago. The reasons for it were over a long time ago. But it is in the Constitution. So I think that if you're going to go back to when the amendment was passed, you can own a flintlock. Okay? I think that's great. I think everybody should be able to have a flintlock. Good luck having a mass murder with a flintlock. Now, if that's what they base it on, historically, okay, you could have a single-shot pistol or a flintlock or a musket. Single-shot weapons. Okay, everybody can have one of those in their home. But the rest of it, nah, not so much. Those were invented for armies. I think that's a great idea, don't you? But if you want to go back to the founders, if you want to be an originalist, then the only weapons that you can own is a flintlock, a knife, or a single-shot pistol. How's that sound, Brendan? You like that idea?
I do. I do very much, yeah.
Well, isn't that what they keep saying? If it didn't exist at the time, then it...
That's right.
It doesn't apply?
Yes, but...
I'd like to make that argument in front of them. I really would. I'd like to hear their answer.
Right.
I really would like to hear their answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? I mean, they don't believe that the words... regulated militia are actually in the Second Amendment. They totally ignore those words.
Yeah.
In fact, they don't exist.
Well, yeah, they're originalists and textualists when it's convenient, you know, when it aligns with their other agendas. So.
Right. Yeah. So something's got to stop. There are too many people dying. We've lost more people to weapons in this country than we lost in wars. Add them up. Over the history of this country, we've lost more people to civil shootings, not war shootings, civil shootings, than we've lost in war. All of them put together. So our country is run by a bunch of manufacturers who are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year each.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to end. It just has to end. And Gwen Stefanik, I think that's her first name, we'll get to you next week.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
All right.
You know, you might want to tune in next week. We're going to be talking about you.
Well, Hezzy, thanks for your airtime, as always.
And always.
Thank
you,
gentlemen.
Yep.
Always
a
pleasure.
Stay
healthy.
Be well.
Yep.
Okay,
as well.
Both of you.
We'll
see
you next
week. Thank
you
so much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, here we are, folks. So we're going to say goodbye, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. All the best. Bye.